We're going to do something a little different tonight. Say different. Different. All right. You guys all right with that? Different is really normal here. We've been talking the past couple of weeks about hearing from God for this year. And we're going to continue with that tonight. What's going to be different about that is you're going to get to hear from not just myself, but you're going to get to hear from six different people. Say different.
Different.
People. All right, yeah. Yesterday, we had a leaders retreat, and something we've been planning since into last year, and really a chance to do what we've been talking about on an individual level, to do that as a community for this community. And so really, in getting away yesterday, it was a chance for us to listen and a chance for us to hear what God was saying and to respond to that. And so we're bringing some of that back for this time and for this family. And I hope it's encouraging. I hope it helps you to see where God is taking us and your place in that. And part of why I asked each person to share a portion of that is because I feel like the words that you're going to hear are really words that are not only for this community, but are words that are for the people that are sharing it, if that makes sense, and really come from their heart. And as leaders in this community, I believe that there are things that they are already leading from. And so help you get a little bit more understanding of them, but also an understanding of, I believe, some things that God wants to continue to nurture and develop and move us forward in this year. So I'm going to invite David up. David's going to start us off with a word about family. So you guys welcome David. And I did tell them they each have 5 minutes. Not total, 5 minutes each. And he's got his stopwatch here. I was a little concerned when I saw the, you know, three books and the phone, but that's like a minute each, and I'm gonna let you go.
Thanks. All right, well, let me get the stopwatch going. So when John was asking us for a word, that was not a question that I necessarily was asking myself for this year, like, what's the word for the church and for ourselves? But right when he asked it, like, family came to mind right away. And that partially comes from just getting to know everyone better this year. There's been opportunities to just be able to spend time with a lot of you guys. And I just like have gotten this sense that you are my family, and just this sense of wanting to take ownership for that. And I've always been aware of the family in the past, but I think sometimes there's also been this knowing with family, a lot of times it's, I want to like give towards you guys. And sometimes I felt like that I needed to receive things myself. It was like, oh, like I want to do things for the family, but I also partially feel like that I'm lacking as well. But the funny thing is whenever I would either take time to spend with you guys or just like give towards the family, it was almost like God would like just move. There would just be an outpouring of just what he was of how he was like moving through me, and just how I was either able to like pray or just encourage or just offer up time, my house, whatnot, like towards you guys. And it came easy. And so like I just feel like over the past year he's been able to do a lot of stuff like within me, and just like this sense this year of like I've done this in the past, but I really just like want to take ownership that this is like my family. And yeah, and we either grow together or bust. There's no you can be off in your little island over there. It's no, if you're part of this family, I am I don't want to say I'm responsible for you or but there is a sense of ownership or responsibility for one another that I really personally just want to take seriously with that. So there's this piece of wanting to, I'm only halfway through, this is great. There's this piece of wanting to grow people and just grow our relationships and help us through whatever we're walking through. And I know that's so much of what I've encountered here, that it's kind of just wanting to really interact with one another to help them through that same journey. But then there's the other half as well, is just wanting to grow the family too. And one thing that the Lord brought up just on Friday was David, the same way that you listen for people, the same way you encourage people, the same way you're praying for people, you do the same thing for people outside of here too. And it just made me think that a way to also just invite people to who Jesus is just by extending what we do here out to our friends and the people around us. It's oh, that's actually a simpler equation than I thought. So as far as verses go, the first one that was coming to mind was from Genesis, where God is telling Abraham in Genesis 12:3, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you all, the families of the earth shall be blessed. Right from the beginning, God's been wanting to start a family and just bring people into that. And it started with Israel. But then Paul says in Galatians, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. So now we're all part of this family. We're all connected through him. And then lastly, just a verse that's kind of been on my heart is from 1 Timothy 1:15, and it says, I can testify that the word is true and deserves to be received by all. For Jesus Christ came into the world to bring sinners back to life. And I think that's just my heart for the family, is just wanting to bring people back to life or into a greater fullness of that. And so that's kind of what I'm chasing this year, and just what I'm putting out there for all of us is just to just bring life into lives within here and around us, and just however God moves you to do that. 6 seconds to go.
David, how many Bibles do you have? Two Bibles, a notebook, and a phone. Okay. Hey, everybody. So yesterday in our prayer time, even before John asked us to give a word for this year, God was speaking to me about simplicity. So the word simple. Sidebar, I have a pet peeve. People say God gave me a word, and I'm always like, okay, it's going to be a word of knowledge. It's going to be maybe even a full sentence. But no, it's just one word. I always get irritated with that. But if you think about it, it's actually very simple. God is calling us to not overcomplicate it. And so I was really pleased that it was just the simple word, simple. Not to be overly complicated. That's the whole point. And I feel like what God was saying was, it's not the definition of the word simple that's ordinary, because nothing that God does is ordinary, but it is simple. And I think that we have a tendency to try to overcomplicate it. We try to add things. And I felt what God was really saying to us that this year, is just to be really grounded in what he's asking us to do. And the truth that he conveys to us, it doesn't need all the adornments. Something I've always appreciated about the Light Church is that we never do anything without a reason for it. So there's no ritual or tradition that we do that we would have to explain, some long backstory. Okay, we have some weird things, but there's a story. But there's no extra adornments. It's just what God has called us to. It's the truth that he's called us to. It's the way that we the way that we live in community, the way that we do worship, it's all simple. And I just feel like that's something that he's reminding us of. And I didn't have a verse, but I came up with the verse that goes with it. So.
You came up with this?
I didn't create the verse, obviously. That would be. To my knowledge, there is no verse in the Bible that actually talks about the word simplicity, but it can be applied to all verses, which is the whole point. So in the Gospels, when someone asks Jesus, what is the greatest law? What is the greatest commandment? He says, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." So where these people were trying to make it complicated, Jesus was just saying, you're thinking about it too much. Like, if you do nothing else, do these two things and you'll be fine. So yeah, I feel like back to basics, simplicity. I didn't need a timer because I don't have a clock on.
Time me, because y'all know I don't do this 5-minute stuff. I don't even know why you even said that to me, John Kovacs. All right, I might adhere. All right, so when I got to the leaders meeting, I came a little later, and so they had written all the words on the board, and John asked me the question, and the word that the Lord gave me was holy. And the reason I believe he gave that to me is because as I'm listening to and receiving a lot from him and also from the various prophetic streams globally, one of the things that we're hearing is that God is doing a move throughout the earth and he's about to do something new. And anytime God does something new, there are ways that we can prepare ourselves and get ready to be used by him and to cooperate with him in that move. And one of the things, I'm going to just throw out 1 Peter 15-16, and somewhere in Leviticus, it says it a whole bunch of times. Y'all are old enough and good enough and mature enough to go Google. If you need to Google to go find these verses, I believe it's a good time for you to sit with Papa and talk with him yourself, because you don't need us up here telling you everything. You can do some of this, so you can do that work. But anyway, so holy, why is holy? First of all, let's talk about what holy is. Oh, you should totally check out the Bible Project. Their explanation of holy is the closest one I would say that I really hold to and that I believe it is. So here's what I come up with when I think of holy. Holy is a state of being where you, in relationship with God, accept into your life and live out through your life the power and the goodness of God. Holy is not results oriented. So I don't know if you guys, but I've always heard holy as you have to live a perfect life. You have to be good. You have to refrain and restrain from doing any of these things and just everything, keep your ducks in a row, strive to be perfect, strive to be good, strive to be pure. And that's a bunch of crap. That is not what it is. It's not about abstaining from and trying to be good and trying not to do bad. It's living the truth of the beautiful relationship with God, letting his power and goodness in that relationship heal and transform you so that you live that out and others are healed and transformed by that as well. That's how I look at holy. And then God says a bunch of times, be holy as I'm holy, and we can't do it without him. We have to do it in relationship with him. So why is it important? As I said, you can't come in contact with holy and not have things change. Like, you cannot come in contact with God and open yourself up to him and receive his goodness, which heals and transforms, and receive his power, which changes things, and not be changed and healed yourself. And as you're going through that process and people come in contact with you, they can't come in contact with that holy in you and not realize that there's a need for a change in their life, or there's a need for healing in their life, or have a desire for that relationship for themselves. So I believe that that's really important for us to live out. And why important for the church this year? As I said, the prophetic streams were all saying that, like, God is moving through his church. He starts with his church first whenever he does a move. He starts at home first, right? And one of the things that he's doing is he's coming through and saying, okay, this is a season where you guys are entering the manifestation and going to see my power in a way you've never seen it before. And there are promises and there are blessings and there are prayers that are going to be answered in this season. And in order to walk into all of those things and carry them, we're going to need to take down some of the old and take out some of the old to make room for the new. So we want to tear down some of the things that were built on shaky foundation so we can build up a strong foundation to carry this new thing that we're walking into. We want to remove some things that were good for you in the old season, but they're not going to work in this new season in the new way we're going to be operating. And so I need you to let go of those things to make room for the new. So whenever we talk about this, it's never, you know, God, people talk about God's judgment. It's not about you've been bad, I need to punish you. He's not about that. It's about I love you too much to let you miss out on what I'm doing. I want you to partner with me. And in order to do that, we've got to prepare you. So you've got to make some choices to come to me, be in relationship with me, hear my heart, hear what I'm saying. And you get to choose whether or not you want to partner with that. And how we prepare with that is that some things have to change. Some things have to evolve. And you get to choose how much of that you want to do and with me. And so where are we at here, somebody? Because I got a whole, where?
30 seconds.
Oh, well, we gonna go 45 seconds. Y'all just gonna have to give me that. So the whole thing about holy is also when you enter that relationship with God and you make that commitment to be in an active, engaged relationship, living a holy life, that state of being, it sets you apart for his purposes. You have now made space and room and time for God to use you for his good purposes on the earth. And that's just as important. So yeah, holy Bible project, 1 Peter 15:16. And if y'all didn't get any of that, y'all can talk to me later. Okay.
Holy, right there on the altar. Pardon me, this recording is going to be a little interesting because all my stuff is on my phone. So bear with me here. So many notes. I will start by saying I cannot take full credit for my note. My word. I was hanging out with the lovely Michelle Norton this week, which is always a pleasure and a blast. And we were just talking about a whole bunch of different stuff. And in that, she gave me this book by Henry Nouwen called Discernment. It was kind of a fluke that I even brought it with me on the retreat. I didn't tell you guys this. It's kind of a fluke I even brought it on the retreat because I had tossed it in my bag when I left her house. So it was still in my bag when we got to the retreat. And I was like, I just kind of felt, just like those quick little moments. Sometimes God uses things that we don't even plan. They're just tiny little things. And I just like, I'm just going to read through some of this to start my time, like, and then see where the Lord takes it. and I was blown away in, like, the first chapter. If you guys are not familiar with Henry Nouwen, I've known him for, like, 4 days, and he's already my new favorite person. I'm kind of behind the curve. He's not new. In fact, he's passed on now. But Henry Nouwen, look him up. So I'm reading this, and it's again, the title is just this simple concept of discernment. And I feel like a lot of times I associate, like, with the word discernment, like, okay, discerning, like, biblically, supernaturally, like, discerning spirits. Or, again, like, discerning, like, God, what is the next step that you have for me? Like, what's the next decision to make? Like, what is my path looking like? I need to choose the right thing, and I need your help, your discernment, to, like, help me, as I'm walking through this life with you. So I found it really interesting in an entire book about discernment that he kind of blows that up and, like, totally changes this definition. So these are some various definitions of discernment according to Henry Nouwen. Christian discernment is not the same as decision-making. Reaching a decision can be straightforward. We consider our goals and our options. Maybe we list the pros and cons of each possible choice, and then we choose the action that meets our goal most effectively. Discernment, on the other hand, is about listening and responding to that place within us where our deepest desires align with God's desires. Discernment is expecting God evenly in all things. Discernment proceeds from a person's grounded, ordinary life. We don't want to think that our goal is to escape from everyday stresses and conflicts, but it's about inviting the Holy Spirit into our experience. We trust that Jesus is present in our pain and our suffering. It's where discernment is where my complete flowering as a human being connects with the needs of the world. It is to step into a freedom we never imagined before, to trust that the Spirit knows us better than we know ourselves, and that we can relinquish our smaller identities to become someone who is beyond our own understanding. Discernment is accepting that the mystery of God, which once seemed outside and beyond us, has made a home within us. A traditional definition of successful discernment is that we want what God wants while feeling more truly like ourselves than we ever have before. That one really stuck out to me because I feel like a lot of times I'm like, okay, Lord, what's the right thing you want me to do? What's the next thing that's going to lead to like bringing you glory? And that's good. But like realizing on a deeper fundamental level, like God gave me the desires of my heart. Like he put those in me. So if that doesn't align with him, there's this disconnect of like the God created me didn't give me these desires on purpose. Like, of course he did. Do they need to be refined and like brought into a greater alignment with him? Yes. But like those fundamental deep desires, it's not just God, I'm doing what you want, but like what I want and what you want is the same thing. Not because I'm forcing it, but because it's just genuinely the same thing through the way that you're transforming me. Discernment, when we are spiritually deaf, we are not aware that anything is important is happening in our lives. Discernment is simply a life of listening to a deeper sound and marching to a different beat, a life in which we become all ears. I just felt like with some of those like definitions in mind, like what does it look like to live a discerning life, a life more aware of who God's created us to be, a life more aware of what God wants, how he's moving, what he wants to do, and a deeper awareness that like I actually have the option every day to choose to partner with that or not, and choose not only to just say, okay, God, whatever you want to do, I'll do it, but like, Lord, make what you want what I want. Bring those together in a new and a fresh way so that actually I'm living as my fullest self when I'm with you and making those decisions and making those transitions. So, discernment. You're next.
Well, now I'm really feeling the pressure. You guys all stayed on your time. Okay, so my word was connection. And it was more like my word, and we talked about this at the retreat, as far as like our words might also actually be words for the church, so because we are the church. So anyway, connection, and it kind of came from a parenting book that I've been reading called No Drama Discipline, and it is the underlying like thrust of the whole book is connection. But I'm just going to read a couple of the things that they say about it in the book. Connection isn't about rescuing kids from adversity. It's about walking through the hard times with our kids and being there for them when they're emotionally suffering. And then this one, connection helps us communicate how much we value the relationship. And I feel a little, it's not been a great day as a mom for me, so I feel a little off sharing about this because I feel like I did not connect well with the boys today. But anyway, that's why it's the word, right? Because we're growing and we're getting better about it. Anyway, I just, thinking about this and thinking about some of these quotes and thinking about us being a family here, a lot of these dynamics between like parents and children, you see that played out in the church, in a church family, or you should, because that's what we are. We're a family, and we do have an obligation to love one another and to come alongside each other and to be there for them when they're emotionally suffering or any other kind of suffering. So we want to cultivate this place of vulnerability and community and authenticity here so that you come here and you feel like this is a safe place where you can be fully yourself. As messy as that might be, you can be completely who you are and know that you're still going to be loved and met with care in this place. So it's kind of why I feel like connection is a relevant word for us here. And John had challenged us to find verses to go along with these words. And I was looking some things up today And so, something I read talked about Psalm 139. I'm like, of course, Psalm 139, which is the verse you were trying to remember earlier. Or it's in that chapter. And I want to read, I didn't set my timer for myself, but I want to read a little bit here. What's that? Oh, we're good. Okay. So I'm going to be done after this. This is from the Passion Translation, and they refer to the Psalms as poetry on fire, so it's really beautifully written, and they probably add a little bit of flowery words, but it's pretty, and it's beautiful, and it's still pretty close to what Jesus said. So I'm just going to read this, and I just think it is a really beautiful picture of the way that God pursues connection with us, and therefore as his kids, as his body, like we are meant to pursue the same sort of connection with the people around us. So this is Psalm 139. I'm just going to read the first 19 verses. We'll see. Lord, you know everything there is to know about me. You perceive every movement of my heart and soul, and you understand my every thought before it even enters my mind. You are so intimately aware of me, Lord. You read my heart like an open book, and you know all the words I'm about to speak before I even start a sentence. You know every step I will take before my journey even begins. You've gone into my future to prepare the way, and in kindness you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. With your hand of love upon my life, you impart a blessing to me. This is just too wonderful, deep, and incomprehensible. Your understanding of me brings me wonder and strength. Where could I go from your spirit? Where could I run and hide from your face? If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the realm of the dead, you're there too. If I fly with wings into the shining dawn, you're there. If I fly into the radiant sunset, you're there waiting. Wherever I go, your hand will guide me. Your strength will empower me. It's impossible to disappear from you or to ask the darkness to hide me. For your presence is everywhere, bringing light into my night. There's no such thing as darkness with you. The night to you is as bright as the day. There's no difference between the two. You form my innermost being, shaping my delicate inside and my intricate outside, and wove them all together in my mother's womb. I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it. How thoroughly you know me, Lord. You even formed every bone in my body when you created me in a secret place. Carefully, skillfully shaping me from nothing to something. You saw who you created me to be before I became me. Before I'd ever seen the light of day, the number of days you planned for me were already recorded in your book. Every single moment you are thinking of me. How precious and wonderful to consider that you cherish me constantly in your every thought. Oh God, your desires toward me are more than the grains of sand on every shore. When I awake each morning, you're still with me. I'm going to stop there. It gets a little crazy. Anyway, beautiful, right? That's like, that's connection. That's the way that God pursues us. And I just like, yeah, I think that if we remember and we reflect on the way that God is pursuing that connection with us, then we're going to be compelled to pursue that with each other. And beyond, outside the walls of this church, like you were talking about, David, because that's the overflow of the Spirit, and that's what he's calling us to as his church. So.
That was awesome. We could just stop right now. But can we? Can we, though? No. You guys still here? I know that was a lot, and I already told them, just consider this 5 minutes as the intro to your sermon when you eventually give it. So probably going to hear more in the future, all right? But I want us to think about this, and this connects to the word that I have. I want us to think about how we can take hold of those things that were just shared this year. And it might not be all of it at once. It might just be one of those words, something that really stuck out, resonated with you. family, simplicity, holiness, discernment. What was yours? Just kidding. Connectivity. I know, connection. It's close enough. That was close. Of course. You're allowed to do that. Okay. And the word that I had, and this is kind of woven into all of them, is purposeful. And I feel like it's what I've been talking about these past few weeks. And I really believe that God's heart for this family hasn't changed. Meaning, like, he has a clear perspective of who we are in him and who we are becoming in him, and an aim that is not wavering. And we might ebb and flow in that and sidewind in that, but God is continuing calling us back into and calling us further in his plans and his desires and his hearts for us as individuals and as a family. And I really believe to that end, one of the pressures that we have that I shared about, this is Romans 12, 2, talks about not being conformed to the world. That doesn't just look like us living like everybody else. It looks like us perhaps trying to be like somebody else. And we can do that even as a church. There's pressure to be like the church down the street that's doing something really well, you know. Praise God for that. But we're not them. And you're not anyone else in here. We're the light. You're you. I'm me. And so purposefulness is about living in our purpose as fully as possible. And in order for that to happen, I believe actually the other words that God's speaking tonight really are a continuation of things he's already said to us. If you go read our values, you're going to hear a lot of what was said tonight already written down. Purposefulness is about continuing to come back to those things and even going deeper in those things, reminding ourselves of those things. I want to read this real quick from 1 Timothy. First Timothy 1, verse 18. He says, "Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you may fight the battle well." So we're fighting conformity. And the way we do that is by remembering what God has said, what he's called us to, who we are in him, and even the things that he's continuing to build off of that. So we want to go back to those things, and we want to live in those things, we want to remain in those things. And I believe this year is about purposefulness, meaning about finding ourselves right in the middle of what we know is God's will and his plan for us. And saying no to the rest. Even good things that other people are doing that might be great for them, we can celebrate that. But if it's not for us, then we need to focus. We need to say no to it, and we say yes. It might not even be exciting because you've been in it for a while. And that's a hard one for me because I like exciting and new and different. But what's better than new and different is you being right where you're supposed to be. If that means you're doing what you did yesterday, that's way better. So I just want to pray. I want to pray this for us. We're going to keep coming back to some of these things this year. And I'm excited for the ways that God's going to build on it and give shape to it. And I was struck by this yesterday. I was struck by the way that these things were interwoven. And I was also struck by just the sense that this wasn't, these weren't good ideas we're coming up with. This is a continuation of the legacy of God's hand and his presence with us. And each one of these things represents a way that he's already been carrying us and he's continuing to carry us. So we just, if you're asking, what do I do with this? I just want to encourage you to start by just acknowledging that if this has any merit to it, it's because it's from him. It originated in him. And we find ourselves in the middle of it, but it's his. It's his plan. It's his story. It's his design. It's his purpose. And so, God, we thank you for that. Not just the things that we're talking about tonight, but the things that are eternal, that are planted in us, that have been there before we even knew they were there. God, we thank you for that. And we thank you because it's evidence of your faithfulness. It's evidence of your presence with us. It's evidence of your care, your focus, your love, your patience, your design, your intentionality. And so we continue to give you this family, this church. It's yours. But that doesn't mean that we're hands off. It means that we invite you to have your way as we go with you where you're going. And we invite you to continue to speak. And we want to listen for your voice. And we want to be confident that when we hear it, it's you. And God, we want to be knitted together in a greater way this year by your Spirit. And you are faithful to do that. And God, we want you to strip down and remove anything that is excess or extra. Even if we like it. If it's not what you would have for us, God, just let us just let go of it. And God, we want to move further and with focus into your plans and your purposes. And to your will for our lives and for this community. And so, God, we ask you to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. I didn't get a timer, but I thought I did pretty good. Hey, we're going to wrap up two things. We're going to take communion together tonight. And as we come to the table, we come to receive Christ's body broken for us and his blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. And as we come to the table tonight, we just confess, Jesus, you're our way. Jesus, you're our way. So when you're ready, you can come. And we're going to receive, and then we're going to close in one last song of worship.